Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on June 6th, 2022. And thanks so much for being here. D-Day, by the way. I just realized that, okay? Celebrate those brave people who invaded those beaches, okay, in 1944. Well, okay. If you don't believe how tough that was, watch Saving Private Ryan. Okay, so let's celebrate them. All right, that's all I have to say on that. It's an important day, but important for us, too. Okay, besides everything we do, we have a wonderful show for you here today. We've got the superintendent of Okmulgee Public Schools, okay, south of Tulsa, okay, in Oklahoma. Renee Dove is their wonderful superintendent, and she's going to be with us today. And we're going to talk about the ways she finds early learners, okay, and how to get them to succeed from the very start in this district in Oklahoma, and I'm looking forward to this show. We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org, okay, ace-ed.org, our home website for the American Consortium for Equity in Education, where our magazine, Equity and Access, lives. Please go over there and enjoy it. You can just click on the cover and read a terrific issue, as usual, I might add. Okay, it's called Pre-K Equity and Access Pre-K 12. All right, we have all the information for SELtoday.org. There's a link. Okay, our Social Emotional Learning Resource Center. We have a website devoted to teacher retention and professional development to make sure we don't lose any more great educators. We want you to stay in the classroom teaching. That's at teacher-retention.com. Again, linked over there, as are our Equity Awards program. It's under the awards icon. You will see it there. You can nominate yourself. We've got 27 categories regarding equity in education. Check that out as well. And, of course, all the podcasts are over there. A lot doing over at ace-ed.org. And I think there's probably a lot doing in Okmulgee, too. And, Renee, how am I doing on the pronunciation? It's Larry here.
Hi, Larry. You're very close. Hi, it's Okmulgee with a very hard G, Okmulgee.
Okmulgee. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
I tried.
Yes.
Okmulgee.
You were very close. Okay. One little piece at the end.
There you go. And you have to help me with something because I've been down there a couple of times. And I think I'm going to have actually driven through Okmulgee. Okay. I went from Tulsa to Fort Smith. All right,
yes,
I remember
yes,
that trip.
You did.
Okay, I probably did. Okay, tell me, okay, you're in Oklahoma. You probably know this, and that's okay. Oklahoma's okay, all right? But the beginning of Okmulgee also starts with okay, and why is that? Do you know?
No, I have no idea. It just does. Do you know?
It just does, like Oklahoma. Oklahoma and Okmulgee both start with the okay.
Because we're okay.
You're doing fine, Oklahoma. Oklahoma.
Yes, we are.
I won't sing that for you. So no matter what you do, I won't sing that for you. Okay. Tell us about the school district. Okay. And by the way, I have another question. I listed this show as an early childhood education. We'll talk about in a rural Oklahoma district. And do you guys consider yourself a rural district? Or just talk about that.
Interestingly enough, we were considered and designated a rural community approximately 2 years ago, which came as quite a surprise to us because we had never been considered that. And I would say that as Tulsa pushes south, that is probably a reason why they may have designated us as that. I could call the State Department. That's how I first found out about it. Was we received a grant that was for rural communities. So, but I think as Tulsa pushes south, maybe that is what is causing us to be designated as a rural community.
And the city, I mean, on a map, it looks fairly. How big is the city itself, Okmulgee?
We have a population of 12,000, we did have 10, 15 years ago, there were 18,000 in the community,
wow.
But as industry has left, so have the people, and we have become a smaller community.
Yep, but are you a city? Is Okmulgee a city?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, cool.
Yes.
I'm curious, okay? Just because it's all interesting. Tell us about the schools. Where, by the way, I want to give you some credit here. You're the superintendent. You've been in the district for 26 years. You started as the third grade teacher. How long? Go ahead. How long?
I've been here 47 years.
Well, she said 26. How long have you been there?
47 years.
3 years? You got 50?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my
yes.
God.
I'm in my 47th year. I know. I have not taught anywhere else. I've been third grade teacher, and then it's my most tenure, and then library media specialist, and then into principal, and on to the district office.
Oh, well, congratulations. And I'm going to give
you
congratulations on your 50th coming up. And I can't believe it's 3 years. I can't believe it. I barely know you. You must. Wow.
I love our community.
It's like goodbye, Mrs. Chips. Mrs. Chips, that's what I should call you from now on. Okay. Wow. And I mean that as a compliment,
yes.
Obviously.
Thank you.
Lucky them to have somebody so committed. And you know, I don't know if you heard me say at the beginning of the show, we're very concerned about teacher retention. And right now, nationally, now we'll talk about it in your town, but nationally, about 50% of educators are thinking of leaving the profession, all right? Yeah. And everybody knows there's a teacher shortage, et cetera. And then you find someone like you, okay, who has been there 47 years. Wow, congratulations. That's just amazing.
Thank you.
Just amazing.
Thank you. And I try to help people, you know, realize that this is the profession that gets you through some hard times, and it's new every day. And if you love it, you're here to stay.
And you are there to stay. They're already building the statue. I know that. They're already building the statue. All right. That's incredible. That's just incredible. All right. So let me ask. I brought it up just about teacher retention, educator shortage. You're smaller district. How are you doing with all that?
We're doing great. Last year we are fully staffed, and this year going in we're fully staffed. And this year we will only have 3 emergency certified staff members. Last year we had 7. And during the course of the year, 5 of them were certified. 1 has left us, but we were able to hire a certified. So we've had some great applicants, and we just hired a new high school principal, and the high school principal's moving here to district office, and so things are ready, and we're already working toward next year and getting schedules made and ready for kids to show back up in August.
Well, I was just going to ask you, our kids are done already, right down there. They're done.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, I live in Maine.
We just finished summer school
here. Yeah. So, they'll come back August 1st. They come back August 1st? Or?
Yeah, ours will be back August, the teachers, August the 11th. Students will be back August 17th.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Tell us about the school district, the demographics, that sort of stuff. How many kids, how many schools, that sort of thing.
We have 3 schools, a primary pre-K through 4, intermediate school 5 through 8, and a 9 through 12 high school. And our population is 1,154. And we are, you know, are populated a third Native American, a third African American, and a third Caucasian. Yes, yes. Yeah. And we are a Title I school. All 3 sites are Title I. Of course, we live right here in the middle of Muscogee Creek Nation, and that's the capital of where we are, of Muscogee Nation, and their council house is right here in the middle of our community. And so we have great partnership with them, and are, you know, working with their group to bring in Native studies and Native language for next year for our primary and intermediate and high school kids. So, and then our poverty, you know, free and reduced is about 89%. I think that's where we landed last week whenever we were doing a report. And so we are very resourced by the people that are in this community. They do have many, many resources, but the poverty line is pretty high, 89%.
Wow. Wow. And by the way, so beautifully diverse, a third, a third, and a third.
Yes.
I love
yes,
the way that worked out. And I have to ask, are you of Native American descent?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Are you a Muskogee? You have to help me, Muskogee.
No, I'm Cherokee. I'm Cherokee with over in the Tahlequah area.
Wow. You know, when I was there, I have to tell you, I've been a long time since I've been to Oklahoma. Okay? But when I was down there, I remember pulling in for gas at the rental car.
Yes.
And a car pulled up next to me, and it said one of the Indian nations on the license plate.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay? And I had never seen that before in my life. Okay?
Yes.
And
have,
I know I'm in Oklahoma,
of...
but it's not an Oklahoma license plate. And I actually started talking to the guy. I said, you have to explain this to me. I'm from up north. What is this? And he told me all about it. It's really interesting.
Yes.
It's fascinating.
It is. And the things that each of those nations do for the people has been, through this pandemic especially, has been just outstanding. And the education they offer their students and then the partnership that we have with them as a feeder school into us has been great.
Yeah, and how do you work with the, what I'll call it, a tribal school, an Indian school, or whatever you want to call that? Okay, do you guys at the public schools in Okmulgee work with the tribal schools? Whatever,
yes, we
assuming
do.
There are tribal schools, I don't know. BIA,
well,
that could be BIA, that kind
here
of
in
thing.
Okmulgee. Right, here in Okmulgee, they have a head start that they have out on the at the nation, and they have just only 4-year-olds out there. Now in Eufaula, they have high school, and then in Tahlequah they have a high school for kids that go and they absolutely they stay there, and there's a dormitory at both of those schools. And so in those communities they work directly with those students. For us, Muskogee Nation just brings in things for us, such as the Native Studies, provides it for us, pays our teachers. Another thing we have here in town also is the College of Muskogee Nation. So our students are concurrently enrolled through the College of Muskogee Nation, which offers several pathways for STEM and then just gaming and different things that they can do out there. And that is a growing school right now.
Wow. And my wife, who works for PBS, used to do a lot of work, okay, with the what they call the Indian schools. Well, she was amazed. You know, she always, she always referred to them as Native Americans, but they always called themselves Indians, okay? Which always struck her as like, okay. She said, can I do that? They said, of course, okay? And she loved working with those groups. It's really something. And she also did a lot of work with the Indian colleges, okay? And she was always just so impressed with all that work. And up here, although we have a lot of Native Americans here in Maine, it doesn't have the same impact community-wise as it does in a state like Oklahoma, which it's so fascinating, and it's so wonderful, the good job you're doing. Okay, so you tell me then, okay, and by the way, Waterford, my good friend Lynn Esser over there, put this show together. Thank you from Waterford.org, okay, the Waterford Institute. And how are you working with them? What are you putting together with them? Because they do such great job, you know, where kids really needed an early education. What's happening with early ed in Okmulgee?
So what we did when I first came on, I met with the staff, and I knew that we had to begin and lay a strong foundation in order to improve our scores. And we knew children were coming in, not prepared and not with the vocabulary that they needed. And so we sat down and talked about it. It says, okay, you're doing all these programs, not to fidelity. I said, we need to choose one that we will do to fidelity and let's make it the program. And I mean, we have to do it, and you have to commit to it. You look at them, and I gave them Waterford because I had used it as a principal and absolutely loved it and had taken a school, off of the at-risk list. And so they chose Waterford, And we started out and we had 10 computers per classroom. And that made it difficult, but teachers, you know, teachers did it. Now, as we have had Waterford for 5 years, every child has a computer at home and they have a computer at school and they have a hotspot. And so now it is actually being done to fidelity. Now we are seeing the results that we're looking for because they can work on it at night, which is their part of their homework every night,
right.
And then they work during the day. And now summertime, even though we've just finished school and summer school has just been completed, they still have their devices at home thanks to the ECF government grant that we E-rate that we
received.
Yeah, I talk
about that a lot.
Oh, my goodness, it's amazing because, again,
amazing
they have a computer at home. They don't have to bring back, and they have that hotspot that's paid for, $20 per student per month, unlimited, and super awesome.
Great.
So we're excited because up to this point, our students didn't have that at home, and we could not send our computers home with them because if we did, we might not they might not come back. You know, they would forget. So now we don't have that. So we are at Fidelity with Waterford, and I'm super excited, and we have just gotten in our test results, and we are super happy with the results that we received as a result of that. And then they opened up this past year licenses, Waterford did, for students that their parents choose not to send them to the four-year-old program that we offer and that Muskogee Nation offers. Waterford came in, and we met with the tribal leaders, and they gave them over 200 licenses for children that are still in the home for our preschool kids. And so entering in this year, they came in at an advantage because they were able to track and monitor them. Has been an absolutely wonderful thing for our district, and we're seeing the results of it.
Good old Waterford. That's incredible. Good old Waterford.
They are.
That's why I love doing these. Yeah, they are. They are. I mean, Ben Houston is the president over there. His dad, Dusty, started the whole thing. And, I mean, it's just absolutely incredible what they've done. And they, I'll say the old cliche, they put their money where the mouth is, so to speak.
Yes.
Okay? They
yes.
go in and they actually help you do it and get this going. And I'm curious, first of all, when I meant to ask you, how long have you been superintendent?
I've been 6 years. I just finished my 6th year, going into my 7th. Yes.
Wow. Okay. So you're established. Okay. You're there. Okay.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, which kids? I got a little bit mixed up on this. Which kids are getting the Waterford stuff? Is it your primary school kids or your before they get to school? How does it work? Because I know some of the stuff is pre-K too, et cetera. So, and also the kids in the tribal schools. So who's getting it all?
Yes.
And what ages?
So the 4-year-olds that are in school. And then we have parents that choose not to put their 4-year-olds in school. So we search for all those kids, looking at the daycares, and looking at there, we have two Head Starts, one with Muskogee Nation and one with UCAP. So we pushed into those two places with Waterford and said, please put them in here. And then we surveyed to see how many students in our district had siblings at home that were that were 3 years old, so that we could get it into the home for every 3-year-old that the parent would take part in it. And so, we kind of kept up with them through the students and through a parent square that we have that we can communicate with parents. And so we were able to continue that program as well and provide them with the devices. At our teachers pushed into the daycares, and we found several 4-year-olds, and we tried to beg the parents, please put your children in school.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
They just prefer not to, and that's their choice.
Of course.
But then our daycare workers said, we'll run this program if you'll teach us, and we'll make sure that they are ready when they come to kindergarten. And so we did that, and the parents, so they work with them at the daycare. And so that's been really helpful to us because it's not new when they come in. And their vocabulary is
more.
It does. It makes all the difference. And it just is something that I wish our state would embrace, as other states have done, as far as a statewide initiative. But mm-hmm. so far, that has not happened yet. And so maybe in the very near future it will.
I hope so. I hope yeah. so, and I hope they I yeah. hope they do. Well, it should be done. And I yes. must ask, you know, the parents, bless their hearts. Okay, I get it.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
You know, they didn't want their kids to go to school at 4 years old. They wanted them home. I get that. Okay, but now that the Waterford work has been is ongoing, what's the reaction from the parents now? Okay, is it easier now to get kids enrolled, or you know, do they say well, thank God, thank goodness we got this going here, so the kids are all set? What's their attitude now, the parents?
They're very pleased. They're very pleased with it, but it does not. It has not changed the number of 4-year-olds that we have coming to school.
Well,
it just
is it
has
home?
Not.
Yeah.
They just want them, you know, at home, and the fact that they were so excited to get the devices for those children, and that's you know, the way we wrote that grant, so that they would have those as well. And then Waterford provides that, you know, for those with the Upstart and those younger children, and they also provide that support that checks in with the parents and gives them ideas of how to work with their children, which has been I've had a lot of feedback for that. At first they were very reluctant, we don't want anyone to do that, and as they began to talk with them, they learned different ways to work with their kids, and I've had great feedback this year on that. So that's getting – they're feeling safer, and that is an okay program. And they were very protective at first of what this all meant to them. So we're gaining every day, and as a result, our scores are getting stronger and stronger every day.
And it that kind of early learning work, okay, makes a big difference. Obviously,
yes.
I'm preaching to the choir here. As the kids go all through school,
it does.
It changes everything, right? It's like time travel. You change something early, and it changes it all through. You know,
exactly.
It's just great stuff. Yeah.
It is, and the one thing we found was that, you know, it's kind of embarrassing for an intermediate student or a high school student that's a non-reader, because, you know, we just brought this in 6 years ago, so we still have students that missed it and are very low readers, and so we went ahead and assigned it to them and just said, work on this at home in the privacy of your home, and it will increase your reading scores. And we sat down with them and showed them, this is what it's going to do for you. And that's been amazing to watch their scores go in some of those skills of phonics and phoneme awareness that they missed out on. That shows if you don't get this, you're not going to be able to read. It has increased their reading as a result, they're able to do better on our testing. And so all across the board. But to do that in the classroom with your peers, no, they would not do it. But now that they have those devices at home, they're working on it.
Exactly. It takes the social pressure off, okay, while they're learning.
It does.
And that's
right.
Half the battle won, or 90% of the battle won sometimes.
That's right.
We're not talking about unintelligent kids, okay? We're just telling kids who need some extra help.
Right.
With that, and you know, we brought this up a few minutes ago, but I'm just concerned because I remember from my wife doing all that work with all the Native American colleges, et cetera. And how are the Native Americans in this country? I'm not going to get into this, okay? But a better group in America you will not find, okay? And the way everything's been treated over the years, okay? And poverty schools that are run, in my opinion, not so great by the federal government. Okay, they could do a lot better, all right? And I'm curious, how are the kids doing? They get through school, they graduate. How are the kids doing who grew up in that environment? How are they?
We've been better. We've been better. When I first came on, only 2% of our students were completing a 4-year college.
Mm-hmm.
And so that broke our hearts. And I said, we have to change. We have to do something different.
Yeah, because we're not talking about unintelligent people.
No, we're not.
No.
And we just have to introduce them to, you know, pathways and careers and such. And so that's exactly what we started doing and looking at. Oklahoma has a program called ICAP, and it's a career academic plan for every student.
Oh.
You know, fifth grade through 12th grade, and they just begin looking at the different careers, choosing pathways, and so when we began to talk that talk and get them interested, they began to enroll in concurrent enrollment. Again, out at College of Muskogee Nation, some of them would go to our technical school, Green Country, and then some would go to the Information Technology School, OSUIT. And so we had the largest number of students concurrently enrolled in our county, which consists of seven that are very within 15 miles of us, seven different schools within 15-mile radius. Of where we are right now, and so they would all come in to these schools concurrently. But we would have finished in the school year of 2020 when we all went out for COVID with 210
yep.
credits of our students in high school. And that partnership has been amazing. Some of our kids said, I'm not going to college. I don't want to go. And so we pushed them. We pushed them to get in. And once they did, it's like, I'm doing this. I'm doing freshman English. I can do this.
It.
And they just didn't think they could. They were scared.
Exactly. It's a mindset. Exactly right. Of course
it is.
They can.
It is,
you know,
and
of
we
course they
we showed them and we took them out there and we you know held them until they passed the test and got in the entrance exam and it was pretty brutal the first year that we were forcing them to do this and some of their parents were wanting to know why are you doing it but we explained to them we have to break the cycle and we have to get kids working and that's the other thing we did. We started internships, apprenticeships. I brought on a career development coach works between the community and the students, placing them in their career path of choice and allowing them to experience that. But we keep them on campus first. We work them on campus first so that we can get those soft skills down.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They know how to go to work because
yeah,
that was the other
soft
thing
skills
we found.
Confidence. Yep.
That's it. And, and you know, we call them soft skills. That's what they used to be called.
They
I call
so
them
soft.
Some of the most difficult skills that these kids are learning right now because everybody has gone to a device and there's very little communication, eye contact, shake hands through a device. And so it's been interesting to have to teach them, you know, you have to speak, you have to look somebody in the eye. To this day, it's still very important. And but before we started all of this is the students would work maybe a month at some of our businesses, McDonald's, our Dairy Queen and places, and then they didn't work any longer than that. So I stepped in and said to the managers, what's going on? And they said, they just don't communicate with people. Could you fix this? And that's when we started holding on-site interviews. That's when we started having them do internships with us so we could see, okay, you have to do this. Now, if you don't show up for work on time, this is what happens. And so where the price tag's low and you don't get in your first job and lose it within a month and feel like – it feel defeat and hopelessness. And
like you said, you have to break that cycle.
Quickly.
You have
you
to
do.
Break that cycle. Okay, it's that simple. And it's hard. Okay,
it's
you know,
hard.
when you're brought up, and I want to say this the proper way, within a how do I want to say it, an ethnic grouping that everybody's like you, all right, be it Jewish, be it Indian, be it whatever, you know, African American, you got to go out in the real world where not
That's
everybody's
right.
like you, you know, and you got to learn
right.
how to do that, and it's hard. It's hard.
And it's hard. And you bring up a very good point, because the one of the things that we've had feedback from our students is that they've gone to college campuses, and things that really overwhelm students that don't come from a diverse community, our community,
yeah.
And then, as I told you, a third, they're used to and knowing the culture of each group. So they can go on those campuses and they're okay. If we can just get
them
there.
That's pretty good.
We have to get them there. And, you know, they'll come back and say, I don't know what the big deal was with them at the, you know, at OU or at OSU. Why was everybody so scared? Because they've seen it or experienced it already in our district, just because of the diverse community that we have. And they're very accepting, very loving of each other. And it's been really great to watch and watch them grow.
It's fabulous. And I have to ask, is your faculty as diverse as your school? That's a very hard balance these days, to find a faculty that matches, the students. Everybody's always talking about that. Okay? How was it down there?
Yeah. It is becoming more and more diverse. And I don't even have those statistics in front of me. I just know that in one report that I did for our Indian Ed grant that we wrote was we have only had four Native American staff the last 3 years, and this year we jumped to 13.
Wow.
So
congratulations.
That was interesting. Yes, that
Huge.
Was very interesting. I know that we have more African American staff this year. Coming into this year, we grew more last year in that number for African American, just trying to, as we looked at that, trying to get more diverse with the faculty, because you teach from, where you come from, and that's what I'm always trying to tell them, when we teach from that middle class, these kids are just not completely understanding, and we're not reaching them, and we have to think. So, doing some work with Ruby Payne and her group, on poverty and understanding kids, we've tried to make sure that we did everything that we needed to do. So.
This is very impressive. You're a very impressive lady, Renee. I got to tell you,
Thank you.
Is pretty impressive. I mean, and
I love what I do.
I can tell. It's just amazing, and look at what you've done. Lynn wanted me to ask you, and maybe you already explained it, but didn't give it a name. What's the Aviator program?
Whenever I came on board, the building that I was in as principal, and when I took over superintendency, we had just reached a point in our district that we could not have four buildings open financially, and so.
Yeah.
My most loving building, I had to close, but I promised them when I said we're going to close this, but we will repurpose it. If this building will not sit here and just rot away to nothing, I said I will open it. And I saw something came across my email from AOPA curriculum and says, do you want to have an aviation program in your school? Here's some new curriculum. I called one of my career
literally,
techs.
Literally forward. Aviation. Literally.
And said, do you want to do this? And he said, sure. I sent him to Maryland. He came home and implemented that program that very next year. That was a summer. I saw that. And then I began to dream about, oh, my goodness, would that building not be just the most beautiful building for aviation? But we kept it over at the high school for 3 years. And we started with drones and thinking about the career pathways for drones. And when I brought the career development coach on, she said, look, the sky's the limit with this. You need to
No pun intended. No pun intended.
Yeah, you're exact. No pun intended. You're right. But then the Oklahoma Aeronautics Commission came on board with us, and and have said, here, let us help you get this started. And then we opened our aviation building. It's called the Center of Aviation and Advanced Technologies. And so our dream and our goal is that Green Country would be there, because children can't be what children don't see. And when they see people going to college, it's just not something that they have in their mind. So under this roof, we have, you know, a course that's all aviation related from the different institutes in the community. And so they can see what welding looks like. They can see what, you know, just the different ways of aviation mechanics and how you get in and do those kinds of things. And so that's all under one roof now, and we are super excited about that. And so when a senior graduates, they can graduate with their drone operator's license. They will be drone certified as an operator.
No, if I may do the pun, they'll be drone rangers. Doot.
Yes, they will.
Sorry. Feel free to use
and
it.
That's okay. And then our students are working for the community doing for the real estate people in the in our community and flying the drone to check their land and doing all kinds of work. And
I love it.
And then they'll bring it back and give them reports about, you know, or if they, like our ball field, you know, how to, where the seed needs to go and where the water is. Standing.
That's right.
It's amazing what they're able to do, and these students.
Yeah, you just have to pay a guy with an airplane to go up there and take those aerial photos.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. That's right.
Sorry,
and
I hope
then
the guy with the airplane
hours.
Bought a drone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they're logging hours in the aviation. They have simulators in the aviation room, and with pedals, and they have to fly every day. They have to come in. They have to. You know, take off, land, and determine where they're going and all the pieces that go with that. And then I have a CATIA, which is a 3D, you know, printing and a program that we have 8 students in right now. So we've grown quite a bit, and we've partnered with – know, all our colleges here in Okmulgee have been amazing at what they offer our students, and then we've partnered with Wichita State and NIAR, and so our students have that military piece of it that they're able to go with. So anyway, that's what we're doing.
You should be very proud of you. I say this to you, you're the superintendent, but to everybody there. Okay, all the faculty and staff. I mean,
it's
amazing what you've done. It's just great. What a nice district. And, boy, congratulations. That's all I can say.
Renee Dove, you're
amazing.
Amazing. Thank you. And if you're driving through, we would love for you to stop. And
believe me,
us.
Thank you for that invitation. If I'm ever down there, don't think I won't do that. Tell your lunch guy to make me a good grilled cheese. I love institutional grilled cheese. Okay.
Well, we can do that.
Okay. So believe me, if I ever am down there, I will stop in. Renee, it's a pleasure to know you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Pleasure meeting you this morning and getting to share our journey and our story.
And enjoy your summer. Enjoy your summer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Plan on it.
Take care.
Yes, sir.
We'll
All
be
right.
In touch.
Thank you. Appreciate
Thank
you.
Thank
you.
Bye-bye. She's amazing. Lynn from Waterford. This is amazing. What a district. Okay. That's Superintendent Renee Dove of Okmulgee Public Schools. It's south of Tulsa. Okay. Kind of forms a triangle with Tulsa, Fort Smith, and Okmulgee. And this is a fascinating school district. Okay. Little school district, school of 12,000. Look what you can do. Look at the advances you can make. Waterford.org, Lynn Esser, thank you. Okay, this was just great. We're going to archive it, ace-ed.org. See what we're doing. Great stuff, okay? Go over there, check it all out. Thanks for listening.